All right, if y'all hold up your Bibles, please. Let's make our confession. We're going to say it like we mean it like we say it. This is the Word of God. And I have what it says I have. I can be what it says I can be. And I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm a winner, not a whiner. I'm a doer, and not just a hearer. I said I'm a doer, and not just a hearer. In Jesus' name. The Bible says we're all part of the body of Christ, so turn to someone and say, thank God you bought the best looking part of my body today. The Bible also says in the book of Proverbs that merry heart doeth good like medicine. So everybody, as you turn to Acts chapter 10, please, I'm going to give y'all a little medicine. I don't know about y'all. I think we all need some medicine. Yes. Amen. Little Johnny and his family were having Sunday dinner at his grandmother's house. Everyone was seated around the table as the food was being served. When little Johnny received his plate, he started eating right away. Johnny, please wait until we say our prayer, said his mother. I don't need to, the boy replied. Well, of course you do, his mother said. We always say a prayer before eating at our house. He said, that's at our house, but this is Grandma's house and she knows how to cook. Thank God for Grandma, that's right. During the preacher's prayer one Sunday, there was a loud whistle from one of the back pews. Tommy's mother was horrified. She pinched him into silence and after church asked, Tommy, whatever made you do such a thing? Tommy said, I asked God to teach me to whistle, and he did. One more. Oof. Preacher's five-year-old daughter noticed that her father always paused and bowed his head for a moment before he started the sermon. And one day she asked him why. He said, well, honey, he began. He was proud that his daughter was so observant of his message. He says, honey, I'm asking the Lord to help me preach a good sermon. She says, well, how come he doesn't answer you? Ouch. Out of the mouth of kids, huh? All right, before we read our passage and I get into my message, I do have a little disclaimer. This message today is not for the faint of heart. If all you want is a blessing, then this message is not for you. This is only for those who want God to take over their lives and consume them, okay? That being said, Acts chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 34 and go all the way to the end of chapter 10. Give me an amen when you're there. Okay, I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. Acts 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And I want to draw your attention to one word in that one verse. That word is fell. That word really, really got my attention. The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. First of all, it tells us that what is happening is the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It tells us that the Holy Spirit is the initiator. It doesn't say they jumped up and grabbed it, or if they reached out and took a hold of the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit fell. Secondly, that word fell means to fall upon, rush or press upon, come suddenly upon, to come forcibly, to seize or take possession of. One definition even says to strike or to hit. In other words, the Holy Spirit came in an undeniable, indisputable manner. It was a tangible, heavy manifestation of the power of God. They were visibly and physically affected. They felt it, and anyone present could see the effects of the Spirit upon them. Amen? You know, as I read that passage preparing for this, my mind went to other places in the Bible where the power of God literally fell. The first one was 1 Chronicles 21, verse 26. "And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called on the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire on the altar of burnt offerings." 2 Chronicles chapter 7, "When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple." These were both undeniable, indisputable, irrefutable, visible, tangible manifestations of the power of God. Then the one that really stands out was when Elijah squared off with Ahab and the false prophets of Baal upon Mount Carmel. False prophets and the true prophet, the man of God Elijah, came to an agreement. Here's what happens. I'm going to summarize the whole situation for you. They would both build an altar. They would both offer a sacrifice, but they would put no fire under the sacrifice. They would call on their respective gods, and the God that answered by fire would be recognized as the one true God. So obviously Elijah let these other guys go first. So the false prophets built their altar, they laid the sacrifice on the altar, and they called upon Baal from morning until noon, and there was no answer. Well, Elijah began to mock them. Then they became violent and went into a frenzy, and they began to jump on the altar and cut themselves with knives and lances until blood gushed out of them. They continued from noon till the evening sacrifice. Thank God, then Elijah took over. He repaired the altar that was broken down. He put the wood in order. He put the sacrifice on the wood. Then he had them pour what was equivalent nowadays of 12 barrels of water on the sacrifice. And then Elijah prayed a short prayer. And the Bible says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and even licked up the water." And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Amen. What happened on that mountain was so powerful and so undeniable that it turned an entire nation back to God. Who wants that kind of fire in this nation right now? Amen. those people experienced a visible, tangible manifestation of God. They had what I call a God encounter. The fire of God, the power of God fell on that mountain, on that altar, and on that sacrifice. Then I think about the story in the book of Acts back in chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Church, the fire of God fell on David's altar and his burnt offerings. The fire of God fell on Solomon's offering and his sacrifices. The Holy Spirit, the fire of God, the power of God fell on Mount Carmel with Elijah. The Holy Spirit fire fell at the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit fire fell on the Gentiles in Cornelius' house. In every case, Old and New Testament, it was a visible, tangible, undeniable manifestation of the power of God. What really concerns me today is this. We are raising, I don't mean we here, I mean we, are raising a generation of Christians who have never had a God encounter. It's sad. They've never experienced a tangible, undeniable manifestation of the power of God. So what, did he quit doing it? He didn't. Anybody who says that all of this in the book of Acts and the rest of the New Testament was for their time is wrong. He will do it now if we ask him to, and if we believe he will do it. These same people that have never had a manifestation of the power of God, they know God in theory. They know God religiously. They know God mentally. They know God intellectually. They know about God. But they've never had a Mount Carmel, Day of Pentecost, House of Cornelius encounter with the fire of God falling on them. They've never had their burning bush experience. They've never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit seizing them and taking possession of them. They've never experienced the supernatural fire of God burning in their hands and their feet. To many people in this generation today, the fire of God is just a concept. It's just an idea. But I am here today to tell you the fire of God is not just a concept or an idea or a theory or a philosophy to be studied. It's not the figment of an overactive imagination. It's not just religious ramblings. The fire of God is the mighty Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the Godhead. He is God and he is might and he is the power of God. You know what else he is? He's the same fire that fell on Mount Carmel. He is the same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost. He is the same fire that fell in Cornelius' house. The fire of God is real, church. It is tangible. It is alive. I'll tell you what else it is. It's also contagious. Because once you get lit, you're going to light somebody else on fire. I'll tell you something else. Power of God is the only power that can heal. Doctors can cut out the diseased parts, but doctors cannot heal you. Doctors can administer radiation and chemotherapy, but even then the body suffers from the harmful side effects. But the fire of God can burn cancer out of your body and never leave a trace or a scar or any harmful side effects. Tell you something else, fire God can do, it can burn drugs out of your system, and it can even take away the desire for those drugs altogether. Fire of God can also deliver you from such things as alcohol, pornography, lust, perversion. The fire of God will also burn up things like jealousy, pride, criticism, bitterness, and unforgiveness. I'll tell you, the fire of God, it'll also heal your broken heart. It'll also restore joy and peace inside of us, church. Fire of God will also heal your marriage. Fire of God can also heal your mind. Here's my prayer for the modern day church. My prayer is, God, do it again. Let the fire fall. That same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost and that same fire that fell on the Gentiles in Cornelius' house, do it again. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall on us. Come suddenly, come swiftly, come powerfully. Rush in on us. Seize us. Take possession of us. We're not satisfied just reading about it and singing about it, God. We want to experience it for ourselves. Even Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He also said, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you've heard from me. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He didn't say you might be, you will be. He said you shall be. This power, church, is not a theory or a concept. This power is the same power that caused the sun and the moon to stand still. It's the same power that divided the Red Sea. It caused water to flow out of a rock like a river. It's the same power that made three Hebrew children fireproof. I'll tell you something else. It's the same power that gave Daniel's lions lockjaw. It's the same power that shook the very foundations of the prison that held Paul and Silas. It was the same power that was upon Jesus Christ in his life. That same power that opened blind eyes, that unstopped deaf ears, made lame walk and the dumb to talk. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's this same fire, this same anointing, this same power that God wants to send to your lives right now. He fell on all them that heard the word. How many times has the pastor stood up here and said, hear the word. He wants to fall on everyone in this building or is watching this on YouTube. He wants the power to fall on you. God's wanting to fall on your life with a tangible, undeniable, irrefutable, indisputable manifestation of fire and power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to, but you've got to be willing and open to say, come on. And you better mean it, because he's going to do it, and you're in it for the ride of the rest of your life. So you better mean it, and you better believe it too. Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Anybody in here hungry? Matthew chapter 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Anybody feel like asking, seeking, and knocking? Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Hunger is a magnet. It draws the anointing. It opens the door for the manifestation of the power of God. Am I talking to anybody in here who's hungry? Anybody at all? Am I talking to anybody who wants the reality of the tangible manifestation of the anointing and the power of God? Anybody? Anybody? Anybody in here not satisfied with religion and tradition? Anybody in here not satisfied with just concepts and theories and philosophies? Am I talking to anyone who wants the power of Pentecost in your life? That the great apostle of faith, a guy by the name, you've probably heard of him, Smith Wigglesworth. Okay. said this, and I quote, "Every soul touched by Pentecost should be a live wire." Anybody ever grabbed a hold of a live wire? Does it get your attention? Do you get a little tingle in you? Absolutely. I believe there's some hungry and there's some thirsty people listening to me right now who refuse to be satisfied or pacified with anything less than a personal encounter with the true God of the universe. Somebody in here is going to catch fire today. Somebody's going to get hit by the power of God Almighty today. Our God is a consuming fire. I tell you what, after that praise and worship, there's an anointing in this house right now. Y'all know me. I don't normally talk like this. It must be something. Just as the fire of God fell on Mount Carmel and consumed everything. Remember, the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dirt, even the water. So also is the consuming fire of God going to fall on your life. Something's happening right now. There is an anointing falling in this house. The fire of God wants to fall on each and every one in this house that wants it. Yes, the God we serve still answers by fire. Wherever there's an altar, wherever there's a sacrifice, wherever there is prevailing prayer, wherever there are hungry hearts. Anybody as a kid playing around in a swimming pool and you always got that one kid that wants to test you by holding you underwater for as long as possible? You know what I'm talking about? Has anybody ever had that happen to them? When that kid or finally let you up or when you finally got to the surface, do you remember how desperately you wanted that first gulp of air? If the hunger in your heart is just like that for God, some things are going to happen in your life. Church, the God who answers by fire is here right now. He's here to save you. He's here to heal you. He's here to deliver you. He's here to restore your marriage. He's here to heal your broken heart. He's here to revive you. Church, he's here to resurrect you. He wants to put his fire in you. He wants to give you a fresh anointing. He wants to set your heart and your life on fire. All over this house, everybody lift your hands, and I want you to ask God to fall on you. Ask for God, for his fire. Send the fire, God. We're asking you, we're begging you, send the fire on us. Fall on us today. Father God, fall on our hearts. Fall on our lives. Fall on our marriages. Fall on our ministries. Fall on our visions and our dreams. Fall on our attitudes. Father God, fall on our families, our finances, our minds. Fall on our bodies. Fire of God, fall on us. Consume us. Burn up the deadness in us. Burn up carnality. Burn up the dead traditions. Burn up everything that is not of you and set us on fire. Give him some praise in the house. I'm going to have Seth put on a song. We're not going to put the lyrics up because the lyrics aren't important. It's what the song says to you. We're going to turn out the lights. We're going to play this worship song. At the end of this worship song, anybody who wants the fire of God on them, in them, consuming them, burning them, we're going to have you come up front. If you don't feel comfortable coming up front, that's fine. He'll meet you right where you are, whether it's in here, in your car, in your house, at work, in the bathroom, in the shower, it don't matter. He is a God that good. He can meet you anywhere. For those that want to, we're going to come up. We're going to have our prayer warriors up front after this song, and we're going to pray the prayer basically that I just prayed at the end of that message, where we're going to ask God to fall on you. Be prepared, because there is an anointing in this house right now. If you want it, if you hunger for it, if you thirst for it, today's the day to do it. Okay? You ready, Seth? Almighty Father, this house of yours, Father, the souls in this house, Father, we ask, we seek, and we are at your throne knocking, Father, to have your presence in a physical, tangible, undeniable manifestation of your power in this house today, Father. There are hearts that are broken, that are marriages that are broken that need to be healed. There's finances that need to be fixed. There's diseases in the body that need to be eradicated from the body, Father. There's nothing you cannot do. Nothing you can't do. And so, Father, we are standing on your word, and we're asking the Holy Spirit to fall on us. Anoint some lives and hearts in here. Anoint some ministries, Father. Anoint some families, households, finances, marriages, jobs, careers. Anoint every part of everyone's lives in here. But more importantly, Father, anoint their heart and set them on fire for you and what you would have them do. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You're such an awesome God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for changing lives, Father. All this that you're working in and amongst us, Father, is giving glory to you. It's not giving glory to us. It's giving glory to you. We thank you and we praise you for that.